The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You are listening to
This is
Cruise Radio Rewind.
Real reviews from real cruisers.
What a crazy and busy month this has been, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. My name is Doug Parker. Thanks for joining us here on Cruise Radio Rewind. So Carnival Mardi Gras has been delayed a couple of months. Also, Carnival Glory backed into Carnival Legend over in Cozumel on Friday morning. And Carnival Corporation had a pretty good earnings call, actually, on Friday morning at 10 o'clock. I sat in on that and a lot of good takeaways from it. So here to break down all of these stories and weigh in on the earnings call is industry analyst Stuart Sheeran from CruiseGuy.com. Stuart, thank you for coming on this morning.
Hey, Doug, how's it going?
Good, man. Busy, busy week. And we're going to start with the Friday morning news. We all woke up to the first piece of news that Carnival's upcoming LNG ship Mardi Gras was delayed. Give us some background on this.
Well, this is Mardi Gras is going to be Carnival Cruise Line's first LNG ship, which is the liquefied natural gas. They now have two ships that have an LNG. Their AIDA brand, AIDA Nova, which came out in last year or 2018-19, has the LNG. The second ship, which was Costa Smeralda, which was delayed, kind of figured, you know, that if you know, they're both being, you know, she and Mardi Gras are being built in the same place. So I kind of thought, well, I'm not going to be surprised if Mardi Gras is delayed. And then, so sure enough, it was delayed, and they're pushing the debut back to November 14th instead of August 31st. That means that there are going to be a total of 8 sailings. So sailings in Europe, the transatlantic, several New York sailings, and then I believe it was the first four sailings out of Port Canaveral were canceled. And so then they turned around, they notified the passengers, and I thought they made a very generous offer to these passengers because they were giving them a 25% future cruise credit, a full refund, and then assistance with any non-refundable airline and hotel reservations. I mean, the hotel reservations that anyone would have booked at this point, I mean, no one really would have paid for them. Air stuff probably may not have been paid for at this point. And for the most part, I mean, at this point in the booking process, those passengers would have been under just, you know, made deposits, which are, well, I think, $800 a person. So to get these kinds of discounts, a 25% future credit and a full refund, that's a heck of a deal.
Well, I was looking at this, and like if you were to book one of those big Excel suites on the transatlantic, it was going to set you back around $12,000. Chances are these people didn't pay anything but a deposit yet, so they're basically getting 25% of that $12,000, the base fare, of course, back as a future cruise credit. Yeah, even if they didn't pay it, they're getting their $800 back and a future cruise credit. So this is a pretty sweet deal for these people who haven't made final payment yet.
Exactly, which is more than likely going to be at least probably 99% of the people that were booked. So for all 8 of the people on all 8 of those sailings, they're making out well. If they book by February 18th and use the 25% future cruise credit, they're going to give them another $100 shipboard credit on top of it. So, I mean, they're making out, and then, you know, their travel agents are getting their commissions protected. You know, everyone's making out on this one.
And then at 8 o'clock local time in Cozumel, there was an accident with Carnival Glory. Set this one up for us.
Well, so it was early morning off the coast of Cozumel. You had several ships, Royal Caribbean's Majesty of the Seas and Oasis of the Seas, which, God, that ship has had some unfortunate incidents, you know, with that crane falling on it and causing some damage in the rear. So those two ships were docked. Carnival Legend at the pier next door was docked, and there was some really gusty winds at the time, and unfortunately, Carnival Glory didn't look like it was under complete control, and it drifted and hit Carnival Legend, which again has been docked and narrowly missed hitting Royal Caribbean's Oasis of the Seas until the captain was able to get the ship under, full control and bring her into port. So, unfortunately, the rear of Glory hit the front of Legend, and it did cause some damage to the back of Glory on the rear starboard side, which looked like it hit the dining room area on Glory. But it didn't look like the bow on Legend was too badly damaged, and both ships were seaworthy, that there was really no major damage, and does not look like they're going to have to pull Glory out of service for an extended period of time, but it's just unfortunate.
Well, in the way where that port is situated on Cozumel, it's right there to the west side of Cozumel, and it's almost like a wind tunnel right there anyways, because you're right there between the mainland and to the west side of Cozumel. And also, just from experience, my dad was a river pilot, and he would dock these big 1,000-foot tankers here in Jacksonville. And I've been on ships with him when he's had 5 tugboats and bow thrusters and stern thrusters on these big Sealand ships. If wind catches the ship, you have no control. There's no amount of horsepower that will save you from the wind.
Yeah, it was just watching the video, which I'm sure you're going to have links to. It's just unbelievable. I mean, there's people that had video that were passengers that were on the pier that were able to watch this unfold, and you could see the stern and the bow thrusters of Glory going at full thrust, and there just wasn't much that it could do not to hit Legend. Initially, I believe there was a report of one passenger that was slightly injured, and I guess there was a total of 6 passengers that were slightly injured just from the smacking, the collision of the ships. But, thankfully, look, it could have been a whole lot worse.
At the end of the day, we're still safer on a cruise ship than on I-95.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then later on Friday morning was Carnival's year-end and Q4 earnings call. The stocks sure were good on Friday. How did the call go?
It actually went very well. And, the analysts, after the third quarter call, considering that Carnival is heavily positioned in Europe, they have several European brands that are dependent on European passengers, and European passengers, there are a lot of issues with the economy in Europe, and travel is in a downturn. They still were able to turn profits in each of the quarters, but even after the third quarter, the analysts were expecting stronger results. But, Carnival had a lot of what they call headwinds. They had a lot of hiccups during that quarter. They were not getting as high a price as they wanted. They weren't as heavily booked at higher prices as they wanted because of their, high leverage, impact from European-based passengers. Fuel was going up. The dollar was stronger. And even with all of those issues that they were facing, and, of course, they had Carnival Vista, which had to go into a unscheduled dry dock, so they lost, they lost revenue as a result of that. Not in addition to having to buy passengers off and compensate them, they still turned a profit. But whatever profit they were going to turn, despite all these issues, it was not going to be good enough. Now moving into the fourth quarter earnings call, the analysts were, pleasantly surprised. They had another very strong fourth quarter. And they were able to continue to post, additional profits, and the analysts were happy, and the stock actually increased at the beginning. I guess it was 7.5% on Friday morning's trading, and it also helped the other two publicly traded companies, Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings and Royal Caribbean Cruises Limited. It was a good day for the industry, but of course, Carnival Corporation was heavily leveraged with Cuba, and because of the industry's inability to continue visiting Cuba, Carnival Corporation's brands, Seabourn, Carnival, Holland America, for example, were not allowed to continue or visit at all, and those sailings that were at much higher prices than where they were had they been able to go. They essentially, they lost a lot of, strong revenue as a result of that. And then they had to turn around, reposition several of these ships, provide significant refunds to passengers. And despite that, they were still able to turn a nice profit. And it was actually a good day.
Stuart, do you think that they waited until after Q4 was over to announce that Mardi Gras was going to be delayed? Was that like strategy, you think, to do it?
I believe the shipyard told them, and so they could properly report this. They did so when they did. Mm-hmm. They didn't wait till after, because it would have had, some kind of an impact to their earnings. Thought it was very responsible of them to announce it prior to the earnings call and account for it in the fourth quarter. So I thought it was definitely a smart move for them to do that when they found out. But this is a brand new class of ship, and Meyer Turku is the same shipyard that Oasis, Allure, and Harmony were built.
Meyer Werft in Germany built Aeda Nova. I mean, do you think in the future Carnival will send their ships over there now instead of in Finland?
This is a different country, and so it's Finland, not Germany, and so everything is completely different. And you're talking about a brand new class of ships. These ships are actually larger than Aeda Nova. It's a brand new, so with a new technology, a new class of ship, it's understandable that there could be some construction delays, could be materials that cause some issues. But, the one in the Meyer Werft shipyard in Papenburg, Germany, I mean, it's a very well-oiled machine.
Yeah,
it's just incredible how they construct ships there. Turku is a new operation for them that they purchased.
And they were building a prototype, though. So did Oasis have this back whenever it was released, or did it get...
It was on time.
Okay.
But again, we're dealing with new technologies, new engines that are being utilized for this fuel, the liquid natural gas. So it's understandable that there might be some hiccups. And Aeda Nova or Costa Smeralda was delayed, but it wasn't delayed until the last minute. I mean, at least here, they're advising that there's going to be a delay and give people plenty of time to make changes.
Are the cruise lines at the shipyard's mercy in these situations? Like, we're going to have it built when we say it's going to be built?
Well, there's certainly some penalties. If you're not able to meet a deadline, and what those penalties are listed in the contracts, and how they will enforce it, is up to the two companies. And I'm sure that there may be some insurance provisions in there to help mitigate losses as a result of the ship being delayed. Mm-hmm. But at least we're dealing with what, 8 months, 9 months notice, that people have plenty of opportunity to make adjustments. And it's going to be great when the ship finally does come in November of 2020.
Arnold Donald, which is the president and CEO of Carnival Corporation, he also mentioned that capacity is filling up for 2020. How is this going to impact wave season? Because generally we see these good cruise deals from January to March.
Well, and I would tell you, Doug, the last true wave season, mm-hmm. the last real one that we had was back in January of 2001. After 9/11, the travel patterns for all segments of travel, especially cruise, changed forever. People are booking in various seasons for certain destinations, and it's not so much that there's deals. It was a peak booking period. But really, Doug, what happens is by the end of March, 80 to 85% of all of the available cabins for that calendar year will have been booked. That doesn't necessarily mean that it was booked January, February, and March. A lot of the capacity, let's say for Europe or Alaska, the bulk of it could have been in August, September, or October of the year prior. But by the end of March, 80 to 85% of all of that calendar year's inventory will have been booked. So it's not a question of there's deals. I mean, usually the prices are higher if you book in January, February, and March for many of those sailings that could be happening for Europe and Alaska, for example. That in order to have gotten the cheaper prices, you will have had to have booked, let's say, prior to December. Mm-hmm. Airfares will have gone up in January, but that has never meant that there isn't plenty of cabin inventory on all ships and all destinations for people to take. They're just saying, hey, you know, we've got 20% left by the end of March for that calendar year. After that, they're essentially booked, which is very normal. And that's the way it's always been.
So, Stuart, my question is, during wave season, we're going to see all these deals with cruise lines offering the drink package, Wi-Fi, dining, gratuities included. Is this something that we should really analyze to see if it's a really good deal, or is the cruise line including these perks and just jacking up the price?
Well, that is a great question. And I did, you know, let's say with many of the interviews that I did around Thanksgiving, and my response to you is this, that the cruise lines will never let a good Hallmark moment get by without a so-called sale. The cruises around the world are selling better today and at higher prices. So when you see these free upgrades with added values of free Wi-Fi, gratuities, kids cruise free, 30% off, which really is saying the same as buy one, get one off, you know, get one at 60% off. Free drink packages, but keep in mind, gratuities are not included. The free specialty restaurants, gratuities are not included. Mm-hmm. Shipboard credits. I'm just glad none of them have offered free health care and college tuition in there. Really, what you know, this is, it's important for people to ascertain what the actual cruise price is worth, take out the gimmicks, and determine whether that's a good deal, and then determine what those value adds are. Because sometimes you could be risking a deposit unnecessarily, meaning, you know, some of these bookings on certain cruise lines, the deposits are non-refundable. And are you getting anything for making a concession where the deposit is non-refundable? Meaning, are they giving you any kind of a big discount for that? And what you do is you compare it to a rate that is refundable. So if you wanted to cancel outside of the cancellation penalty period, what is your risk? And you may find that the prices sometimes are lower or sometimes they're very close. But if you buy the non-refundable deposits, then theoretically you need to go ahead and buy the insurance to protect your investment at that point.
Speaking of investments, he also noted these cruise line funded projects like Freeport and the Half Moon Cay projects. When we see these insular developments, is it more of a grab for cruise guests' money, or is it more about creating new experiences, or is it both?
Doug, what's happening is you have a lot of cruise ships, and you have more people going on cruises than ever before. I mean, just record numbers. I mean, they're expecting, you know, what is it, over, you know, 32 million people mm-hmm. are expected to cruise in 2020. So what the cruise lines are doing, well, before there were plenty of places for the cruise lines to go. Now the cruise lines are having to enhance other destinations or create their own. So we've seen more cruise lines building private islands. You had NCL with the Harvest Key off of Belize. Carnival has done Amber Cove in the Dominican Republic. They did Grand Turk in the Turks and Caicos. Now their, you know, Carnival Cruise Line is building a resort destination, you know, on the island of Freeport, you know, which is similar to, you know, which is like Virgin Voyages is building a little beach club on Bimini. And unfortunately, you know, you can't invent islands. So what the cruise lines are doing is they're creating their own experiences in places where they can go. So, you know, the other one in Half Moon Cay, so as you know, that's one of the nicest of the private islands that Carnival Corporation owns that is used by Holland America and also is used by sometimes by Carnival Cruise Line. So they provide some really unique and very valuable experiences that they would not have gotten had they just, you know, pulled into just any other port. So they're working with countries to, you know, help them redevelop their port areas, because some of the ports especially in the Caribbean, are not as nice as they should be or not as safe as they should be. So the cruise lines are now getting more involved in port development to enhance the experiences of the cruise passengers.
When we were over in Great Stirrup Cay a couple of weeks ago, and we saw that new development, Silver Cove, that NCL put over there. Do you think that is setting the stage for either NCL or one of their smaller luxury brands to do overnights there?
The answer is I don't think so. They're not built for overnights, you know, and it also defeats the purpose of cruising. I mean, the whole thing was, you know, you could pull up on your cruise ship, which is your floating resort, visit places, and leave. Now, you could have longer stays, but, you know, the thing is that, you know, some people have said, like, even with what Royal Caribbean's doing on Coco Cay, or what they could be doing in some of the other islands, like Labadee, but they can't, like, drop people off and then, you know, have the passengers get picked up by, you know, another ship another day. Because that would turn them into ferries and not cruise ships.
Those are really nice villas, though. Like, more than you would need for 8 hours on a private island.
As you know, Doug, that you're never going to spend 8 hours. You're going to get off the ship. You're going to go over there. It's going to take some time. You're going to go into the water. But, I mean, you know, they're, you know, when you hear, well, they've got 1, 2, and 3-bedroom villas. Well, I can promise you, I mean, how many people are going to go over there to close their door, go into a bedroom to take a nap? You know, it's just an area to be seen, go enjoy, and they have different areas for different people willing to pay different amounts.
In a $25 glass of champagne.
Yes, which I'm sure that you felt was sumptuous.
Totally. We've been talking with Stuart Chiron from CruiseGuy.com. Follow him on Twitter at CruiseGuy. Thank you, buddy.
Hey, my pleasure. Happy New Year.
You too, buddy. See you later. So before I close it out here, I want to give a big shout out to my team and the people who make me look really good. Richard Sims, my staff writer, Orlando, Rosie, Justin helping out with video, Hendra, Heather doing the weekly cruise news briefs, Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy, who is a walking encyclopedia and always providing analysis, and of course, Sherry Laskin with Cruise News. With this awesome group of people who just bust their ass, we've put out 1,000 articles in 2019, 60 videos, 270 cruise radio news briefs, and 78 episodes of Cruise Radio and Cruise Radio Rewind. Thank you from the bottom of my heart and looking forward to 2020 and what that will bring. All right, let's get out of here. Have a Merry Christmas, Happy Holiday, whatever you celebrate, and we'll talk to you on Thursday. Take care.